Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for August 7th in the year of our Lord, 2017. Our 2 at 2 in the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio. Donald wants to make America great again, so do we. But you got to make America moral again if you're going to make America great again, Donald. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're all doing fantastic. Kurt Crosby's with me. Hello, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're very welcome, my friend. So it looks like Amazon's in the news, huh?
Well, yeah, this is, this past week they had an event that I thought was pretty interesting. It was highlighted by the good folks at libertynewsdaily.com. And the headline reads, Long Lines at Amazon Job Day. Amazon held what they called their Jobs Day. It was billed as the biggest hiring event of the year for Amazon. The company planned to interview and hire 50,000 full-time and part-time employees. You know, they didn't break it down, but at least it's a lot there. It says the company plans to hire 130,000 workers by 2018. Full-time positions include, they say, medical benefits starting on day one, as well as tuition and reimbursement for high-demand careers. Part-time positions would receive medical benefits 90 days after employment and tuition reimbursement. Amazon has 13 fulfillment centers around the country. The work involves picking, packing, and shipping products. It's considered low-skilled manual labor. While the economy has improved since 2010, the recovery has not been uniform, as indicated by the thousands of people lined up at the events to get even a part-time job. You got any comments about this story, Sam?
Well, number one, I don't believe Amazon is genuine in this, and I'll tell you why. They've literally planned on hiring 50,000 people, and they call it Jobs Day. Their real goal is to get a bunch of free publicity out of this. In other words, instead of a steady hiring effort over the long haul, they made this a huge day to try to eclipse all other companies and get a lot of media. I mean, I understand it, but I don't agree with the tactic. Because it's not really about jobs, it's about promoting Amazon as the biggest employer in the world, and it's about giving Amazon a bunch of free publicity. I think they should have gone about it in a more genuine way. That's kind of the concern that I have about it in the first place, Kurt. That's number one. Number two, and we'll get into this in just a second after you finish any piece on the story that you want, about the unemployment reality. We act like unemployment's super low, like in the 4% range. We have virtual full employment is what they claim. That's a lie too, Kurt. And Donald seems to be all too willing under his administration to accept the lie. Now, when Barack was in power, Donald exposed it big time, as he should, but now it seems like we're acting like it doesn't exist.
Very good point, Sam. One of the things I would say, at least, I kind of applaud a company that says, hey, I know in the past we've seen some reports where they're embracing the whole, robots kind of things. And the fact is, I'm sure the technology, if anybody, Amazon included, they look at the cost of doing business, the cost of these employees, the cost of, you know, all the medical that they say they have to provide and the tuition reimbursement. Those are all costs to them. And so if they look at each of those and then they can find something, you know, whether it's a machine or, you know, what do they call these robots or whatever, that can save them money, I'm sure they'll do it. But it is amazing to see what Amazon has done and how many areas, I guess you could say, they've
provided disruptive
jumped
technology
into.
To.
Yeah, and you look at it, and it's hard to find anybody almost out there that can really, I guess you could say, challenge them.
Well, how can you challenge them when the government backs one against the other, Kurt? You got winners and losers intentionally created by your government subsidizing and by rules and laws relating thereto. So you got, you know, online business not a lot of times without sales tax. You got brick and mortar businesses pay sales tax and property tax, and the list goes on. Now, their answer would be to tax the heck out of the online guys rather than reducing taxes on both, Kurt.
Well, it's a great point. And that's what really ought to be done is you, instead of giving special perks to the big boys who say, you know, they go to the governors or to whatever representatives and they say, man, we'll come to your area if you give us these special tax breaks, these special opportunities. You know, the fact is the way that should be done is you give breaks to everybody and let everybody compete in the world.
With a level playing field, Kurt, treat everybody the same.
I mean, imagine that. And one of the coolest things, at least that I've seen, is that even small businesses, even though Amazon is massive, a small business, a small individual can be nimble enough many times to compete in these areas. Now, they're not going to overwhelm Amazon, but what they
Submit to you that Amazon would not even be Amazon unless they had those special privileges along the way to become who they are. In other words, government has created Amazon. You wouldn't have these businesses as big. Number one, their competitive advantages are the only reason they've grown to the size they are, Kurt.
Well, that's right, but Amazon's really made up of a lot of small businesses. Haven't they basically embraced the individual, you know, and in other words, for example, individuals can sell products through Amazon, and, you know, the model is a pretty good one, but I've seen some things lately that worry me about what Amazon's doing, at least to the small guy, where they said, look, you know, anybody who wants to return anything for any reason, hey, it'll just be pulled out of that seller's account or whatever. You know, they're getting a lot of power. It's tough to see anybody on the I guess you could say horizon that can challenge them, that can offer anything like they do.
Well, there is a couple. There's Jet.com, Walmart, number one. Number two, there's Alibaba, the Chinese company. But you're right, other than that.
Yeah, and then, you know, at least frankly, you know, you look for, at least for goods and services, I do this anyway, you look for individuals local to you that can basically offer you something, without all the, I guess you could say, middlemen in there, and you're going more to the individual that produces it, trying to know those people, and that's one of the things that I say could compete in this age we live in, huh?
Now, the Daily Caller did a fact check on this reality about jobs, Kurt, and while they tell you that job unemployment rates are down to the 4%, you know, whatever range, and virtual full unemployment or full employment and this kind of stuff, it's all a big, huge lie. And the Daily Caller fact check talks about, the headline says this: do almost one quarter of Americans between 25 and 54 not have jobs? That's a question. Do they?
Well, you know, at least I guess I would be labeled as unemployed because, you know, I mean, they don't see me on somebody's.
That's right.
I guess you could say employment sheets or whatever. And yet, you know, I think I got plenty of work.
Amen. Now, White House Senior Policy Advisor Stephen Miller, who we've had on the radio with us, he said that, quote, almost one in four Americans between the ages of 25 and 54 are not even employed. Now, Miller made the claim during a heated exchange about the, and they call it the RAISE Act, which, you know, it relates to the minimum wage increase stuff, right? Now, it's true. Government data supports the fact that almost a quarter of people between 25 and 54 are not employed. The Bureau of Labor Statistics documents this. All right. What's the employment population ratio? And if you take the population of adults and you figure it out and say what percent of that's employed, well, between 25 and 54 is at 78%, which means that 21.5% of all Americans between 25 and 54 are not employed. Miller is proven correct by the fact check. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
So literally almost 25% of Americans are unemployed, working age 25 to 54. And if you go to the teen rates of unemployment, the numbers get even higher. So literally you've got 25% of Americans simply not working. And we pretend that the employment rate's 4%. The problem with it is, as Kurt wisely points out, number one, they would say he's unemployed because he's not in their traditional roles. However, Kurt makes a living as an entrepreneur, does fine, but they would consider him unemployed. The other example is, what about people that don't want to be employed? What about, and so there's no good way for the government to keep track of these statistics at all. The private sector ought to do it, but they don't want to admit the real numbers. So what they do is they play games about, you know, if you're not looking for a job, then you're not considered unemployed because you don't want a job, they claim. Well, that's not true. It all depends on how you decide to look for a job. Do you decide to do so through the government entities? If so, you're included, and if not, you're simply considered employed. That's the false premise behind this whole thing. Anyway, bottom line is they've been attacking people like Stephen Miller and others, like me, like for talking about the high unemployment numbers. All I can tell you is, ladies and gentlemen, we've got a serious problem in America. They want you to believe we're at full employment for the most part, virtually full employment. It's all a lie. People are suffering out there big time, Kurt.
You know, the solutions, ladies and gentlemen, are not that government provide more, leadership in this whole, minimum wage thing, but that government do this, and that is have less regulation, less intervention, more freedom to the individuals to make arrangements in whatever way possible, you know, for individuals to deal back and forth freely, fairly, as man was done in our country in the early days, you know, Sam. That's part of making America great again. Huh?
Yeah, and my problem is the way they manipulate the numbers. So what I don't understand is why can't the government just tell the truth? Look, if there is 25% of Americans out of work, why can't we just legitimately publish that truth and then talk about and explain to the American people, look, part of that reason is, hey, they're not employed. They're housewives, or they're independently wealthy, or they're entrepreneurs, or they're working in the private sector and the government doesn't have any way to track it. Or, I mean, why do we lie and play games and manipulate the numbers, Kurt? And the answer is because that way they can control the American people's thinking on this. The government is not responsible for the employment numbers anyway. The government's responsibility, Kurt, is to develop an even playing field, to have tariffs at the borders justifiably so to protect our markets, and then to honor contracts. Other than that, the government has nothing to do with the employment or lack thereof in a nation.
Yeah, I mean, just imagine if the government didn't even report or ask you or find out how many people they think are or aren't working. I mean, imagine if they just looked in the Constitution and said, don't see that in here. So it's not something we do.
And there are private companies like ADP and others that have these kind of numbers in the private sector already, Kurt. And I submit their numbers are more accurate anyway.
Good point.
Sam. But do we need to know how many people are employed?
I don't think so.
I mean, people say if someone you know doesn't have a job, it's bad. If your neighbor doesn't have a job, it's worse. If you don't have a job, it's really bad. What I'm trying to get at is you can just literally know from the private sector, from the media, from life. If you drive down your road in your town and there's a bunch of businesses boarded up, that's not good for unemployment. For employment. If businesses are failing left and right and you see bankruptcies in the news every day, it's not going well. On the other hand, if people are healthy and happy and money is changing hands, and then it's going pretty good. You don't need all these government numbers coming out all the time. They always end up revising them anyway. They're not honest numbers, and they know it.
I don't think you could say any better than this.
And then they tried to beat up Stephen Miller for focusing on the truth, but hey, Daily Caller did a fact check and said he's absolutely correct. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Harvard's in the news. Now, you know Harvard was in the news recently that we discovered, nobody else talked about it but us, that Harvard was tied to slavery and Harvard in the past had slaves to fund their educational operations. Remember all this, Kurt?
Yes, I do.
All right, well, Harvard's in the news again, not for a good reason. Harvard's incoming class of freshmen has a non-white majority. Writes Gabrielle Bocon. For the first time in Harvard's history, their freshman class has more minority students than white students. While Harvard is recognized for their, quote, world-renowned academics, they've made recent headlines for their racial distribution of students entering the class of 21. It's in the future, but coming up. Now, out of the 2,056 applicants, 50.8% identified as minority. The percentage of African Americans accepted rose from 11.4% to 14.6%, the Daily Mail reported. The New York Times claimed that the U.S. Department of Justice is investigating admissions policies of colleges, claiming that their commitment to affirmative action might be purposely exclusionary or discriminatory against whites. However, the U.S. Department of Justice stated that the New York Times report was false. Now, here's the bottom line, Kurt. I don't have a problem with who's in college. I don't care if it's white people or any other race of people. What I want is a level, fair, consistent application and admissions set of guidelines that if you fulfill and complete, you're in. What I don't like to see is these race-based affirmative actions and manipulative realities that force this narrative. Let the best man or woman win. Set the standards to be equal and level and fair across the board. And hey, That's all you do. I submit to you to create racial agendas or to favor one race or whatever above another, to favor females over males or blacks against whites, is simply evil racism run amok. Hopefully Donald's looking into this, but I have mixed reports. I hear that he is, and then I hear that he's not. And then I don't even know what the truth is in the news. But all I'm telling you is, whenever we use government to manipulate the playing field, it's disaster. So I'm not really having a problem with who gets in, as much as I'm having a problem with how they get in. And really, whites are being discriminated against all over the country now, Kurt. It's reverse affirmative act or reverse discrimination going on. It's wrong no matter who's discriminated against, Kurt.
You know, and I, like for me, that's the key here is it's not the percentage of individuals. It's that everybody is treated fairly, no matter what color you are. You know, if the bar is a certain level, so many push-ups, so many sit-ups, so many pull-ups, hey, if you can do it, you should be in there. Not, well, you can do it, but then, look, you're a certain color, then, well, that means you're higher there. That's just not the way it's supposed to be, is it, Sam?
Well, I say, as you say, let the best man or woman win. Put some academic standards together. Put some morality standards, some dress code standards, some whatever you want in place to make sense to try to, you know, let the best succeed. I support that effort, okay? But my problem with it is they're using all kinds of, instead of looking at ways to level the playing field to make it equal and fair and put things in place to reward those who work hard, those who are reliable, in other words, an academic history, etc. In other words, put together, hey, what have you done on your resume? In other words, putting things together that makes sense based on life's experiences and based on what you've done in life and based on how hardworking you are and how moral you are and all these kinds of things. They're putting things together to pit one race against another, pit male against female, to pit. And I have a problem with this whole agenda. So this, you know, celebration they're now having about more non-whites or all minorities are taking over and there's more freshmen that are non-white than white, and that's a huge milestone celebrated by Harvard, to me is disaster in the making, because it really is discrimination against white people. And the other thing they do is they discriminate against people who financially have money. Shouldn't matter if you have money or not. If you can find a way to go to college and get it paid for without government assistance, hey, let that level playing field happen. And you say, well, that's not fair. That's discriminatory against the poor, Sam. My response is, you know what? I don't know how to help that, but I don't think that everybody needs to go to Harvard anyway. I personally think a lot of the cheaper schools provide a better, more well-rounded, less politically driven agenda education in the first place. However, this is disaster, in my opinion, not because minorities are going to college. That's fine with me. But because they've manipulated the playing field for a politically driven racist agenda. And then they run around and call me the racist. These people are crazy. Liberty Roundtable live in seconds on your radio.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With Liberty News this hour, I'm Dennis Daly. Special Counsel Robert Mueller has impaneled a grand jury to investigate claims that Russia meddled in the U.S. election. According to many experts, this is not a particularly unusual development. Grand juries often are put in place to assist the Department of Justice and the Federal Bureau of Investigations in those agencies' various investigations. Grand juries, though, have broad powers to issue subpoenas to witness testimony and documents. It doesn't mean that anything has been specifically learned, but investigations continue. The Washington Post may not like Donald Trump very much, and some say that that newspaper will do anything it can to embarrass him if it also damages national security. WAPO has published the transcripts of two private phone calls the president had with the leaders of Mexico and Australia. The newspaper says it got the transcript from a source apparently within the White House. Whoever leaked the information, according to some, has committed a felony, and by publishing the information, the Post has put the president in the position of being unable to effectively talk to anybody. You're listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com.
For commentary and insights on a troubled world delivered to your inbox weekly, think Joel Skousen's weekly internet news analysis service. Subscribe today to this one-of-a-kind news source, WorldAffairsBrief.com. We the people do hereby request the immediate assistance of President Trump, Congress, media outlets, and freedom organizations to defend all innocent Americans. There is no liberty with innocence in prison. Please sign our petition, thefreedomcoalition.com.
With Liberty News, I'm Dennis Daly.
Every day I wake up, it's almost like a battle. It's like, well, you know, I could do this today. I could go get drunk.
I don't like beer. I'm an alcoholic because I can't, you know, stop drinking because it alters my mind, but I don't like alcohol.
And I had to keep telling myself that, you know, this is okay. Everybody does this. My whole life was just a big lie.
I can't control if I do take that drink because I'm an addict, and I can't.
I admit it's messed me up.
I don't have a very good memory. I have a hard time remembering things when I learn them.
I can't concentrate on one thing for more than 5 or 10 minutes. You have fun until you hit rock bottom, and it's not fun anymore.
I remember sitting in assemblies about drugs, and I thought, that's never going to happen to me. I'm never going to be like those kids. Here I am.
The choices that you make are choices you're going to have to live with.
A public service message from The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby on your radio. So I believe that Harvard is a racist institution. It always has been. They've gone from roots in slavery right on up to now discriminating against white people. They just can't leave well enough alone and be honest and fair and moral and upright. It's a disaster. All right, Kurt, sleep deprivation is in the news. You getting enough sleep over there, buddy?
You know, in
by the way,
my
Kurt
opinion,
Crosby always gets enough sleep, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, you know, unless I'm sleepy. I mean, I try to rest when I'm tired and wake up when I'm not. You know,
by the way, if Kurt Crosby is one of the seven dwarfs, I'd name him sleepy for sure, right?
All right. But, you know, this is one of those things, at least in my opinion, ladies and gentlemen, that doesn't really get enough promotion when it comes to the whole health idea. And that simply is, well, the headline here reads, sleep deprivation makes us useless, work study shows. Huh. Imagine that. So unless, so if you're all tired and you're not very useful, Sam. Imagine that. Now they say, what? Wait, you here? Sorry, we were just napping. Anyway, this thing called the National Safety Council released a report. Now, I suppose it's your government tax dollars at work here, figuring out something that, you know, you already knew. But they say, based on a survey showing just how many of us are struggling when we get to work the next morning, they say 43% of respondents said they fail to get at least 7 hours of shut-eye daily, and 97% they say reported having at least one of the 9 fatigue risk factors listed in the study. You know, I really don't want to go into all these risk factors, but the fact is, ladies and gentlemen, if you're tired, you need rest. If you're rested, you'll be more effective. Right, Sam?
I think so. But it seems like everything in society right now is under dispute. Nothing makes any sense. Nothing can be clear and simple and organized and moral and on target, you know. I mean, the idea that we got to tell everybody that, you know, hey, if you don't get enough sleep, you're not as good at work. we really have to like create a news story and talk about that, Kurt? You should learn that when you're five, when you're a little kid.
Right.
In the middle of school, they have you take a little nap because they know you're tired, Kurt.
That's right. But of course, you know, we adults, you know, we can't stoop to that. Imagine we have seen some reports in the past where, hey, employers would realize that, hey, these individuals, especially the longer their shift is, that if they're given a time to get a little bit of rest in between or whatever, that, man, with less hours of actual work, they get more things done. It makes sense, doesn't it, Sam?
It makes sense. Now, there is debate about when you sleep and stuff like that, and I'm convinced, you know, a lot of times our society creates us going to bed way too late and then demanding that we get up way too early. And I personally think if we go to bed earlier, technology and smartphones and media and everything else are what make us go to bed way later than we ought. But then we have all these rules about how early you got to get up. You know, you got to be at school at 7 a.m. or you got to be at work at, you know, whatever. And it's a problem on both ends of the spectrum. Now, I agree that taking a nap when you're super tired in the middle of the day needs to happen. But oftentimes, the real fix is to get real sleep at night when you're supposed to. That doesn't mean that a nap isn't justified or warranted on occasion. But I'm convinced if we were to go to bed earlier and we were to wake up a little bit later and get a good solid 8 hours of sleep every night, I don't think people would need to take naps hardly. That's just my opinion, but there's a debate about it, but there's no debate about that people need enough sleep.
Very good, Sam.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I don't think it makes you, this headline's a little deceptive too, because sleep deprivation doesn't make you useless at work. It just makes you less effective at work.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, you know, you can't really say people that are
tired. It just depends on how sleep deprived you are, I think. For example, if you're completely sleep deprived and you're passing out, falling over, then you're pretty much useless at work. On the other hand, if you're just a little bit tired, hey, you know, you're going to have a little bit less productivity.
That's right, sure. I guess I'm just saying I don't know anybody that's really walking around literally falling over, you know. They're literally taking something to their boss to get signed so they can send out something. They literally just fall over while they're doing that, you know. I'm just saying most situations aren't really that egregious. But the point's well taken that, hey, you know what? You don't get enough sleep and it's trouble. That's beyond debate. All right, I guess North Carolina's in the news. They're taking a little different tactic than Harvard, Kurt?
Well, yes, Sam. And, you know, basically this is a LibertyNewsDaily.com piece. And basically they've joined a handful of other states in passing legislation to protect the right of what we call freedom of speech. Imagine that. And they're doing it even on college campuses. Now, this thing, they're going to have, my problem is the, you know, how it all gets enforced or whatever. But they say it requires campus administrators to set up disciplinary sanctions against students who disrupt the free speech of other students and invited campus speakers. Now, you know, you've got to have something, at least in my opinion, in place when you have unruly individuals. You know, instead of saying, well, you know, that it's just their freedom of speech to do this. But when you look at this, it also, they say, prohibits university administrators from disinviting speakers to the campus, either because they disagree with what the speakers might say or because of threatened protests. Now, we've seen individuals limit people's freedom of speech by doing this, haven't we? Now, we've also seen this in so
Culper
many cases where...
Yeah, and Culper, one of the most recent that comes to
mind. That's right. Well. That's exactly right. And we've seen them do this with the same thing when individuals threaten lawsuits and force, for example, school districts to say, well, there's no prayer here because we'd be sued. Wouldn't that be, you know, part of this whole thing, Sam? Now, they say four other states besides North Carolina have already adopted similar legislation, and they've got some bills along the same lines that are being considered in Texas, Wisconsin, Michigan, Illinois, and even, surprisingly, in California. Many conservatives, or I would even say lovers of the freedoms espoused by our Constitution, are saying it's about time.
Wow. There you have it. In my opinion, important stuff, folks. But my problem with this, Curtis, do we need more legislation, more regulations to deal with this? I thought the First Amendment was pretty clear, and it's been around for, what, a couple of hundred years, and we really haven't had a problem with this until recently when we've allowed lawbreakers to break the law. Now, they act like we need some special situation for when people violate people's free speech, but, Kurt, to me, we've already got laws on the books against criminal activity. We've got laws on the books against assault and against behavior such as this and disturbing the peace. And I mean, the list goes on and on and on. Why don't we just use the current laws in place and defend the First Amendment? Why do we need more legislative efforts and more campus free speech laws or whatever? I don't think we need more laws. More laws isn't the answer. Just genuine respect for one another. My rights end where your rights begin idea. Really says it all. And I guess what my worry is, we start getting into these special, pretty soon you'll have a free speech court. And pretty soon you'll have a free speech, you know, zone. And well, we've already got those. And so, see what I mean? You get into this idea where every case has this special case solution or reality to it. Look, use the laws already on the books. When people are hostile to one another, when people threaten violence or behave in violent ways, when people disturb the peace, when people assault and or interfere with somebody else's free exercise of religion and or beliefs, and when people in the public square are hostile or intimidating in certain ways, there's already laws against all that stuff, Kurt. So my problem here isn't that they're defending free speech, because I celebrate that. The way they're going about it concerns me, though, because as you say, who's going to enforce it? What are the penalties? And how do you determine if you violated it? Let's say that 100 people go out and do this and this and this and this as a group. Then do they prosecute the whole group equally? What if one person was super violent and the other person was just kind of an innocent bystander, but they associate with the group or whatever? And so you got this problem here where we turn everything into a kind of a case study with a special situation agenda. To me, that's disaster. We've already got laws on the books.
You're exactly
apply
right,
the way
Sam.
They ought to be applied.
Yeah, imagine we've got the Ten Commandments and, as you said, the Constitution. Imagine if we just did those and got rid of all the other laws.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. China is helping the U.S. Kurt, we'll talk about it. The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free. F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so. C-U-R-T. That's Kurt. C-U-R-T at LibertyRoundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211 or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, China's helping the United States, Kurt. Is that right?
Well, Sam, really, though, you know, you got any news report is supposed to be like we're hating them and they're hating us. I mean, you know, how can we have a news report that says China helps U.S. search for missing sailor in South China Sea? I mean, that would kind of encourage good relations between countries, wouldn't it?
You would think.
I mean, we wouldn't want to go there.
But I got some questions, Kurt.
Yeah.
Why would we? They're what, helping us find some missing sailor in the West China Sea or whatever, right?
Well, that's right. They say that, you know, this is a rare cooperative gesture in these disputed waters. That means China says they're theirs. We say they're international waters, etc. But they say this sailor went missing. I always think it's funny when they say they went missing. You know, during a joint U.S.-Japanese drill in the South China Sea, Japan's Maritime Self-Defense Force, that's, by the way, the country's navy, confirmed two of its vessels as well as helicopters have been taking part in the search. The two nations called off their routine joint operation to focus on the search, you know, when they get a sailor missing. The sailor's name, they say, is being withheld while the search is ongoing. Beijing has pursued claims on nearly the entire territory of the South China Sea by building military facilities and conducting naval exercises. But, you know, this, at least in my opinion, is some good news where, you know, countries can say, hey, look, let's work together to find somebody that's missing.
And I'm for that, working together to find somebody that's missing. I support that. That's the good side of the story. My question, though, is why is this sailor in the sea in the first place? We need to avoid foreign entanglements. I'm not here to debate whether it's China's or international waters, but I am here to say, what are we doing over there, Kurt, in the first place? Is that going to really help things out? That person should be home with their families, in my opinion.
Well, it's true, Sam. You know... We do this all over the world. We're in something like, 130 countries? We're what, in debt by $20 trillion? You know, we seem to be doing everything in so many cases that we shouldn't in our government. Right, Sam?
I hear that. All right, more incriminating Clinton emails, Kurt. And again, more criminal activity. No punishment, Kurt.
Well, it's sad to say, but you're right. Tom Fitton, this piece from LibertyNewsDaily.com, by the way, president there of Judicial Watch, somebody that we've watched for years, and they, man, they do great work. They've now uncovered over 500 new emails that were in the possession of Huma Abedin. Now, if you don't know who that was or is, she was Hillary's, right-hand lady, I guess you'd say. And these were sent out by her, right-hand woman, or they were on Hillary's private server while she was Secretary of State. Some of the information was classified, and other emails apparently show that Clinton Foundation donors, get this, Sam, this is really shocking, were getting special access to the secretary. So, in other words, you know, if you put in money.
So we just have more proof of collusion, more proof of criminal activity, more felonies involved, and they lied and claimed that wasn't happening. Now more evidence that that is happening. Tom Fitton and the folks over at Freedom Watch, Judicial Watch, documenting this reality. But again, Kurt, you see any repercussions that'll happen? I don't see any.
You know, all I can say is this. Thank goodness they're working on it, or else, well, basically, you'd even see less.
Hey, do you think Donald's going to pardon Hillary?
Well, you know, what I wish he'd do is uphold the law and make it so that whether you're black, white, pink, blue, whatever, or rich or poor, that all the laws, well,
oh, no selective enforcement
with everybody. Yeah. And that when we found laws that were out of control, like, you know, they're easy to find, we got rid of them.
All right. I'm expecting, I mean, Rose. That. Is that the name of a play, Kurt?
Well, no. Rose, like when you're having a problem, you know, with somebody, then they say there was a row in between these two individuals. You know, in other words, they'd be having an upset kind
you mean
of
people
situation.
People in America aren't getting along, Kurt?
Yeah, this Hollywood screenwriter is now, well, recreated the movie about Huckleberry Finn, Sam. And this movie is actually based on the book that Mark Twain wrote way back in 1884. Now, there's what they call an offensive word in there. And, well, we've known...
Is that the offensive word Obama used so freely, Kurt?
Yeah, or that... you know, like these rap stars use. But you and I, if we say anything but call it the N-word, then, oh, you know, that's, I mean, it's going beyond the pale. But anyway, the word Negro is, you'll find in that book that was written in 1884. And that's going to be actually used in this movie, Sam. I mean,
well,
imagine
if you're trying to do
a movie
that's historically accurate. Wouldn't you need to use that, Kurt? And why would it be a slight, I mean, or an anger or a hate-filled, you know, reality? It's just historical evidence.
I mean, imagine.
So do you defend the use of the word, Kurt?
Well, I think you must if you're going to be accurate.
Now, see, what's interesting to me is they act like the use of the word is just always evil. That's where I believe the lie starts. If you're using the word intentionally inflammatory or hostily against someone, I think it's wrong. But if you use the word in a historical context relating to the reality of the day or the circumstances of the time, and your goal is to create the adventures of Huckleberry Finn, and you're trying to be accurate, and I don't see how you can not use the word and portray history the way it was then, Kurt. I think we ought to highlight the truth, talk about how wrong it was, to behave in those manners discriminatory towards against anybody. But I don't see anything wrong with using that for historical accuracy to make sure that hopefully it never happens again, Kurt.
Well, and if somebody uses that word, should we put them in jail?
No, we should say they have the right to their free speech and we can disagree with them in the public forum. But you know what? I'm not in favor of using those words, especially in a negative way.
Right.
But I'm not also here to persecute or have a problem with somebody who does. I just say I disagree with them. They lack class. Let the court of public opinion be against them for it, Kurt.
Good point.
In fact, for example, I wouldn't try to put Barack in jail for using that word. I'd put him in jail for other reasons. But for using that word, I'd just say he's wrong and he shouldn't have done it.
Yep. Imagine that.
So, all right. There's a new purpose for Sweden's army. I didn't know there was different purposes for armies. I thought it was to kill people.
Yeah, well, this is a LibertyNewsDaily.com piece, and apparently it says Sweden's army has a new mission. Apparently doesn't involve defending the country. Instead, its leaders say that the military's task is to defend your right to live with whoever you want, as whoever you want, and in any way that you want. And we will go to any lengths to do it. Some Swedes, they say, were not pleased with the new mission. One Facebook user asked, "Are you so lost in the rainbow mist that you've forgotten you're supposed to be warriors?" Another said,
"Again,
Swedes,
I reject the supposed to be warriors part, but that's another discussion."
Yeah, Swedes have absolutely nothing against other people's way of life, but it is distasteful to impose their propaganda in our workplaces. The army plans to dig in and not surrender to the intolerable social pressure, Army Personnel Director Klaus Exel said that the military would participate in Stockholm's Pride Week I don't know if I'm going to very, well, I won't be proud of that. I'll just say that. And also in local pride events all over the country, we must work to reflect the society we have the task of protecting, he said. I would simply say this, Sam. There's a little bit more proof of the whole scripture where it says, in the last days, good is called evil, and evil is called good. Having pride about people having, well,
well, when you behave that way, pride is the only real thing. You know?
Yeah, that's right. It's just wrong. You shouldn't be proud of.
Well, and I reject
evil.
Both purposes for the army: one, to be warriors, and two, to promote this perverted agenda. I would submit that we ought to not have standing armies in the first place. But secondarily, if we do have an army, it should be for defense purposes only, to protect our lives, our wives, our children. That should be the purpose. All right, Salt Lake
Amen
Elementary School's
that.
In the news, Kurt. Is this good?
Well, Sam, I think it is. Now, I mean, I personally would rather see the elementary school not even exist, the government school. But in this case, at least they're kind of being more careful with your tax dollars. They say they usually spend about $8,000, you know, to pay a landscaping crew to clean out the dried cheatgrass on the hillside. But they've found a cheaper way to do it, yeah. And they've employed goats, Sam. And the goats, they say, can do this job for about $3,000. So that saves you $5,000.
Them goats?
I'm sure there's some lawyer that's going to, you know, work on that. But the nice thing is they don't use chemicals. And it still cleans up the... the environment, and the goats actually, they get fed, and, they might even gain a little weight, or they could get milk or meat from these goats at the same time, Sam.
Whoa.
Crazy idea.
Is this in the government school?
Yeah, they're
doing it. So you can actually point to something that the government school might be doing right, Kurt, for a change?
Well, I know it's a hard thing to believe, but...
Hey,
there
we give credit where credit's due. Like always, ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. Sam and Kurt breaking it all down just for you. 2 hours of hard-hitting talk radio in the can. We need your support in every way, including financial. LibertyRoundtable.com, LibertyNewsRadio.com, LibertyNewsDaily.com. Donate today, would you please? We declare we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore America. Will you help? Hey, thanks. This nation shall endure.